Yes. As we've pointed out, forgiveness doesn't mean you have to give up anything on the level of form. Your psychological attachment to Hawaii is one of the ways your ego clings to the body and the world. That will need to be forgiven. It masks your unconscious resistance to the truth that there is no world. Like you, most people don't want to hear that their dreams and passions are really false idols, a substitute for God and heaven. You've even chosen a place that they call paradise. Hear this. There's nothing wrong with your dream if you understand it and forgive it. Forgive, and then do what you and the Holy Spirit choose to, and have fun.
You know, I really love having you here, but I kind of miss Arden.
Well, he's helping you right now. You just can't see it. But remember something. When Arden said last time that we'll talk about certain things with you the next visit, he meant that very literally. His voice and mine are the same voice, Gary. We appeared as a man and a woman because we knew that would be helpful to you. But the time will come when you'll hear us just as one voice. There is only one of us, the voice of the Holy Spirit. You'll understand that more and more as we go along.
Say, I was wondering, Jade let you touch him so you could know he was real when he came to you after the crucifixion, right? So, I was wondering, can I touch you just to see if you're real?
Yeah, right. Where would you like to touch me, Gary?
Are you flirting or is it me?
It's you. I was referring to that secret fetish of yours. Most women you've met didn't realize you'd get a bigger thrill out of touching them someplace that most people wouldn't even think of as being sexual.
You really do know everything about me, don't you?
Don't worry, I won't tell anyone. Maybe we can talk some more about that when we discuss sex with you. But let's stick to the subject of this visit. Go ahead, touch my hand and my arm the way I touched Jay when I was Thomas and he freaked us out by appearing to us after we knew his body was dead.
Note. I walked over, sat next to Persa on the couch and touched and held her hand and her arm, which felt as real to me as any flesh I had ever felt. Then I said thank you and walked back to my chair. You're the real deal, girl.
As real as anything else. But it's all in the mind. I appreciate you not indulging in your fetish. That brings up something, though. You've experienced wet dreams in your lifetime, right?
Getting a little personal, aren't we?
Well, just for a moment to make a point. When you were in those kind of dreams that seemed so real, where were you feeling the woman?
You mean, what part of her body was I feeling?
No, man. I really mean, where were you really feeling her?
In my mind?
Excellent. See, this dream, which you take as for your real life, is no different. Yes, it feels very real to you, yet you can have the same experience in a dream in your sleep at night. Your body even responds to it as though it's real. Your heart pumps harder, you breathe harder, and I won't even mention what else gets harder.
I see what you mean. As the Course says, all my time is spent in dreaming.
Yes. Now let's continue our discussion and help you wake up, although you may not always want to, and perhaps we'll talk about some of your other dreams, sleeping or waking, later on. Remember always, bodies are like figures in a dream and nothing more.
If I'm taking all this in, then my attitude is that I look at the dream figures and I think, the guilt I thought was in you isn't in you. It's really in me, because there's really only one of us. And you're just a figure I made up for my dream. I can forgive myself by forgiving you, and only by forgiving you. Because you're symbolic of what's in my unconscious mind. If you're guilty, then I'm guilty. But if you're innocent, then I'm innocent. Then, through true forgiveness, forgiving both of us for what we haven't actually done, my mind starts to know it's really innocent. The conflict diminishes as I keep doing it. It doesn't even matter if I appear to be forgiving the same images over and over, because they may look the same. But it's really just more guilt that's being forgiven and released. As peace returns, the laws of the mind say that my mind's direction is determined by the thought system it follows. And of course, there are really only two thought systems, even though there may appear to be many. If I'm doing my forgiveness homework, which means I forgive whatever comes up in front of my face that pisses me off on any given day, or even just bothers me a little, then I must be going with the Holy Spirit toward heaven. I help release my images so they can go too, but the Holy Spirit will take care of that kind of stuff.
You're learning well, dear student. Of course, you're really already in heaven, but you don't know it. Your mind is not aware of it. You see, you never really left God or heaven. If the separation from God never occurred, then that would have to be true, wouldn't it? That's why Jay said about the kingdom of heaven, as recorded in my gospel, it will not come by watching for it. It will not be said, behold here or behold there. Rather, the kingdom of the Father is spread out upon the earth, and people do not see it. As he asks you in the Course, why wait for heaven? Those who seek the light are merely covering their eyes. The light is in them now. You have work to do along with the Holy Spirit to uncover your eyes and get your mind into the condition where you can awaken from the dream and become aware of what you really are and where you really are. No matter how hard it may be for you to believe in your present condition, all your lifetimes have been just one big, gigantic mind trip going nowhere. To get to the point where that truth becomes your experience, it takes work. So do it. Think forgiveness. Don't just say it. Forgiveness is done silently. Do the Course, Gary. Don't dumb it down. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that you can just pray to God and everything will be hunky-dory. That's a myth. The Course says of the words, I want the peace of God. To say these words is nothing, but to mean these words is everything. Later in that same workbook lesson, to mean you want the peace of God is to renounce all dreams. Thus, you demonstrate that you mean you want the peace of God, not with your words, but by your forgiveness. If you really want to pull the plug on Psycho Planet, then you need to do your forgiveness homework, which, as you just said, means you practice the Course's true forgiveness on whatever comes up in front of your face on any given day. Those are the lessons the Holy Spirit would have you learn. You won't always do them perfectly or even well. Sometimes you'll have to even do them later. No problem. A memory is just as real an image as any other image. They're all the same. Forgive them and be free, and save the world at the same time. We said during our first visit that you save the world by concentrating on your own forgiveness lessons, not somebody else's. The law of forgiveness is this. Fear binds the world. Forgiveness sets it free. The world feels solid to you because fear binds it. It doesn't feel solid to me because I have forgiven the world. So its touch is no more solid than your dreams are for you at night. Yes, I feel something, but only enough to be able to function while I appear to be here. It's very gentle. That's why the nails didn't hurt Jay as they were being driven into his flesh. Being guiltless, his mind could not suffer, and someday you will attain the condition where you cannot suffer. That is the destiny the Holy Spirit holds out to you when you forgive the episodic fantasies of your bodily addicted ego. The message of the crucifixion has been interpreted by the world as a message of sacrifice. That is not the lesson Jay intended it to be. I didn't understand that until after he appeared to us and spoke of his lesson as being one of resurrection rather than crucifixion. He said there was no death and that the body was nothing. Some of us, and later the church, confused the manner of his death, which didn't matter, as a call to sacrifice and suffer for God. That was incorrect. We've already said it is not necessary for you to repeat the example of the crucifixion. Remembering that, all you need to do is understand the real lesson of it and apply it, through your forgiveness attitude, to your own body and your own personal life circumstances. Here is part of what Jay says in the section titled The Message of the Crucifixion. You will never find a more striking example of refusing to compromise on the truth. Assault can ultimately be made only on the body. There is little doubt that one body can assault another and can even destroy it. Yet if destruction itself is impossible, anything that is destructible cannot be real. Its destruction, therefore, does not justify anger. To the extent to which you believe that it does, you are accepting false premises and teaching them to others. The message the crucifixion was intended to teach was that it is not necessary to perceive any form of assault in persecution because you cannot be persecuted. If you respond with anger, you must be equating yourself with the destructible and are therefore regarding yourself insanely. He goes on to say in the same section, the message of the crucifixion is perfectly clear. Teach only love, for that is what you are. If you interpret the crucifixion in any other way, you are using it as a weapon for assault, rather than as the call for peace for which it was intended.